Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I mean, I think it depends on your whole roster. You know, it's hard for a quarterback to be successful if he's, you know, has bad protection, doesn't have a lot of skill to throw to. The team's down in terms of the roster configuration at that particular time. So I just think it all plays in.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and on 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
I love following Mark Grody because then he like hypes me up for the Bears season. Bears stuff to talk about. What up? It's Gabe Ramirez. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hopefully you guys are enjoying your evening, getting ready for the weekend. But I've been telling people all day today, all day, Bears football is 1 week away. In 1 week, you're going to be able to see Caleb Williams and the guys do their thing. Hopefully Caleb Williams. We'll get to that in just a second. But it is 1 week away. And the excitement level for me is, I wouldn't say an all-time high. All-time high excitement comes in years where I feel like the Bears can compete for a Super Bowl, legitimately. Those have been all-time years when you're going into a season. But this is certainly up there. There's a nervousness to it where there's a huge level of uncertainty with Caleb Williams, of course. I've been talking for the last few years that sometimes we put higher expectations on the Bears than we should. And so I'm wondering if they're going to be able to live up to those expectations. So again, there's a lot of things that are, a lot of emotions that are going to be hashed out in the next couple of weeks. But I think the interesting thing is, you know, I did a segment today actually it was yesterday with, it was me, Alyssa Bergamini, Annie Agar, she does a lot of social media content, and Jory Parrish from CBS2. We were on stadium doing Stadium Clubhouse, and it was a confidence meter. And the confidence, the first question was, how confident are you in Matt Eberflus? And of course, you can have the conversation about how, you know, people thought he was going to get fired last year, and now he's favored to win Coach of the Year. But I leaned into, like I always have, the fact that Matt Eberflus has the ability to get men, grown men, to play at their highest level and has, despite the circumstances surrounding them. And so for me, what calms me a bit is Matt Eberflus, oddly, right? I feel like I'm a player and I'm like, yeah, you know what? I feel like I like the coach. I like what he's doing. He mentioned getting with the coaches during this little off day session where he's like just working on tightening things up with position coaches. I think that's great, right? I think when you hear him talking about a lot of other things, which I'm going to play a bunch of audio from Coach Flus right here. And again, I just wanted to calm you as well. Because again, I'll say it, Bears football, 1 week away. And speaking of that Hall of Fame game, Flus talked about whether or not it was good to have the people in this early during training camp.
I will make another comment, though, because it's good to have them in early. You know, people a lot of times say Hall of Fame game, you know, you kind of shoulders go down and all that stuff. Not this year. We get extra practices, extra time. So we're really excited about that. That's really advantageous for us this year. But yeah, when you get a guy on a rookie contract, it's a way you can really do a good job of having that extra money to be able to spend it elsewhere.
It's so funny. Coach Eberflus seems to me like the person at the end of a meeting or when the teacher's ready to dismiss you. And he's like, excuse me, I got one more question. I would like more homework, please. No, strikes me as that kind of guy, but I love it. You heard the excitement in his voice, and I mirror it. I'm equally as excited the Bears got in earlier. It means more video footage of Caleb Williams. Like the dime the Bears just posted up about 20 minutes ago. Running in the opposite direction, crosses body, an absolute dime to Keenan Allen, who is doing a toe tap, falling out of bounds, catching the ball as if it was the fourth quarter, trying to put the Bears in field goal position. You practice how you want to play, and the Bears certainly were doing that. It was great stuff. But are we going to see Caleb Williams in that Hall of Fame game?
Yeah, here shortly. We talked about it, had lengthy conversations about it during that personnel meeting. You know, I had it with the coordinators before that, and I've been talking to Ryan. So we'll make a good decision here soon.
I think the good decision is yes. I know some people are like, oh, why would you? No, get him out there.
So your vote is he's going to play. I voted that as well.
Yes, Caleb Williams. If it were me, if I were the Bears, if I was George McCaskey, if I was Kevin Warren, Ryan Pope, like go down the list. If I was all those people and I spent the last 6-8 months trying to get this guy or doing stuff, research on him, he's finally on the team. You've implemented this offense with Shane Waldron, two new people. Yes, Cook.
To me, though, like you got to put the rest of your starters out there, too, especially your offensive line. You do not want to get him hurt.
I'm not talking about putting him out there with the second string.
No, you got to put your whole offense out there.
Yes. What do you mean? Of course, you need to put team one out there. And you get three snaps.
Which is rare in the Hall of Fame game.
Right.
But,
and hopefully you get a first down. But you're going to be out there. Why? Because I don't expect you to play later in the preseason. And that is the difference between Caleb Williams year one. Next year, we can talk about that. But get him out there. Get everybody feeling good. No point in, you know, playing games. Because you have to develop the players. And not only do I feel that way, but Coach Eberflus does as well.
Development of those young players is key. And I think it's bigger than ever. I really do, because the college game is good, right? But it's also, there's a lot of in and out, right? Guys are transferring. You know, people are worried about how we're coaching guys because they may transfer. So you see that a little bit where the development piece of it for when they get, we get our hands on them, is going to be more and more important. So we got to have great teachers, great developers to be able to really enhance that skill set that we get from the college game. And that's what we did with Tyreek. Tyreek came in. His skill set was pretty good, though. He had some good coaching. But, you know, we really worked on him, and he worked at it, and his development was just like this.
I like that the Bears, even from before, they have a different approach to players. You see it with the mental health coach. You see it, and obviously they're learning as well, right? Ryan Poles being a first-time GM, same with Coach Eberflus. And you would expect, like anything else, you know, your first day on the job, whatever job you have, think about it, you're driving home from it right now. Your first day on the job, fresh, excited. But you probably didn't know everything properly. You probably didn't know your best practices, how to cut corners in certain areas, you know, how to get the job done better. And I'm sure whatever project you're working on in the present, you're completing it at a much faster rate, with higher quality than you were when you first got there. And I think the same thing could be said for Coach Eberflus, and they understand how to develop people individually and in a different way now. And they also know how to lean on certain players as well, right? He's dealt with a team that's had a star player, right? In Justin Fields, that people were surrounding, the league was talking about. And he knows how important those star players are in the preseason.
Yeah, when you start game planning for preseason, of course, if they have a star player, you know, at receiver or a defensive end at that spot, that's a great opportunity for you to game plan against that guy. Now, you also have a contingency plan. Of course, a lot of those times, those guys don't play, right? They're in there. So at least you have taught how to take away a star receiver, how to handle a star rusher in your package. You know, so we'll definitely go through that process, but it might not be applicable to the game.
Yeah, you got to have buy-in from certain guys. We know that. And I'm sure it helps when, you know, it's not only DJ Moore doing it. It's also Keenan Allen. Guys on the opposite side, Montez Sweat, just buying into the mindset that playoffs are a possibility. We'll talk to Clay Harbor a little bit later in the show. He and I were chatting a little bit earlier, and he was reminding me, he's like, Gabe, you know, because sometimes we as fans, we think we know things, right? Like we're like, oh, every team goes into the season thinking that they're going to win the Super Bowl. And you talk to an actual NFL player and you're like, hey, so like even when your Jaguars sucked, did you really feel like that? He said, Gabe, even after we won 4 games the year before, every single person in that locker room, when we came into training camp the next season, was under the impression that we were going to compete for a Super Bowl. And it's true. And that's how they feel. Well, the Bears certainly could feel that way. And I mean, can't say there's zero shot that they'll get to the Super Bowl. Got to be like a 0.001, I mean, one at the very least. But in order to get there, they are going to have success at the quarterback position. And Coach Eberflus talked about that as well. And specifically about his huddle command. You've heard a lot of people talk about that, getting in and out of the huddle, whether false starts, you know, play clock violations are going to be an issue. But Flus talked about Williams and his huddle command.
Yeah, so we're going to keep pushing the envelope, right? You know, so we're pushing the envelope on the scheme, you know, in terms of bulk, you know, how much we can handle as a group. Obviously, he's the apex of that. And then also really the skill sets. We're pushing the envelope on skill sets and really still learning those on both sides of the ball. So we'll get that going. We'll get some one-on-ones going here, one-on-one pass rush, one-on-one versus the receiver DBs, linebackers, running backs, all that. So we get a chance to really evaluate those guys in pads and start that evaluation.
Don't you feel like Caleb Williams is a lot faster than you thought he was going to be? I mean, you knew he could scramble. You knew he was mobile. But something about like the twitch quickness that I see in the videos, it almost feels like sometimes, or maybe I'm just fanning too much, but sometimes it feels like they speed up the videos. Might be going a little bit too fast for me. There are some things that Coach Flus wants Caleb Williams to work on, though.
Yeah, his is really irrelevant from pads. You know, it's just run game footwork, you know, and then the walkthroughs, making sure that he controls the pace, you know, with him in and out of the huddle, making sure all those reps are good. And those are his two things he's working on.
Yeah, he's working on that. When you think about Caleb Williams, I try to envision what it's going to look like in 5 years. When he will have like grown man muscles on him. Yeah. You know? If you're 30 and up, you know the difference between like being a 22-year-old man, thinking you're a man, having a pretty, you know, solid body there. But then when you get like to 26 and 27, they say that's the apex of your physique. Your muscles will be the strongest at like 26, 27 years old. So I try to imagine, like I see Caleb Williams now, and I'm like, geez, 4 years from now, a seasoned vet, grown man. I'm like, man, wouldn't it be cool if he is that dude? And like 4 years from now, you're just looking at like a RoboCop type dude, like that's like just dominating the NFL. Like, oh, that'd be so great. We get to see it in 1 week. I can't say it enough. It's Gabe Ramirez here at 670 The Score. We're going to be talking to Mike.
The 708 brings up a good point.
Oh,
remember it's a terrible field next week in Canton. Was it last year or the year before where the game got canceled altogether because the field was absolutely horrific?
I remember that. I feel like Bears players will have the advantage because they're used to playing on a subpar field. Like the Bears will probably walk on there and be like, well, damn, this ain't that bad. I don't know.
I'm at home.
Why is everybody tripping right here? 1 week away, guys and gals. 1 week away. You get to sit in front of a TV screen and watch the blue and orange do their thing. It's going to be great. They asked me to do a post-game show here on The Score. I'm doing Lala next week. And it reminded me, like, how am I going to watch the game when I'm on Hulu doing Lollapalooza's live broadcast? I know I'm going to want to watch that game. It's going to be on my phone. I'm like about to be interviewing Meg Thee Stallion. I'm like, yo, Meg, hold on 1 second. Caleb Williams is about to... He's about to take his first snap. Hang on 1 second. Guys, I need 5. It's going to be great. It's so exciting. No more. Do you understand how long everyone on The Score has been talking about Caleb Williams and the Bears in different angles for the last, 8 months? And to finally be able to talk about something different, actual games, it's a great feeling. Flus talked about, when it comes to Caleb Williams, some things that... he thinks he does exceptionally well, which I think is cool.
Yeah, just his accuracy, is really good, not only in the pocket, but on the move. You know, so when you get the off schedule throws, like you do a lot of times, like we see in the red zone across the league, those are really important that those are accurate balls. And he's able to do that for sure.
Yeah. I think when you're watching his release, it does look like I think there were certain instances. I don't want to point out specific quarterbacks, but where maybe touch just wasn't their best attribute. And Caleb Williams certainly has that, where you can just tell there's like that feel, that touch, that I'm just trying to get it there. Even Jalen talked about it as well. So, I mean, he has that. So, again, how can you not be excited? And I'm not talking about excited, like go buy a jersey excited. I'm not there yet. I'm not at that level of excitement. But I might buy a t-shirt. The jersey might be too expensive. The t-shirt, you could just like cut off the sleeves. And
a jersey, huh?
A jersey. I have no problem doing that. Somebody on the text also said that Parkins and Spiegel are guys. They were discussing earlier that if Caleb is good, what can he get away with in Chicago? What could he get away with in Chicago? I'd say, I don't know how many people CPD is pulling over for running the stop signs lately, but I'd say that's a good starting level. Laz will not let him get away with a parking ticket. I could tell you that. He'll be walking to his car and they'll be riding it and he'll be like, yo, I'm Caleb Williams. They'll just, nope.
Well, I'm glad you started at a more respectable level because I think Danny started at arson. And I'm like, okay. I don't know. Let's go down a little bit, maybe.
That's pandering to the audience right there. But I get it. Like, what can you get away with? I'm sure if he's good. Okay. You know what? Maybe I'm thinking in the present too much. Like, if he's good week 1, 2, and 3. Let's say if he were good. Let's say he got the Bears to the playoffs 2 years in a row. And let's think 3 years from now. I don't know. I've seen some people crash cars and run away from them and get away with that here in Chicago. So I could imagine you could get away. You could get away with a lot. Somebody said, Gabe, you need to copy your Lollapalooza outfit. I know. Trust me. I thought about this last year. Oh, I see what you're saying. Put on a Caleb Williams jersey for my Lollapalooza outfit.
Yeah. You got to combine them. How many Caleb Williams jerseys do you think are going to be out there?
A lot.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I didn't think about that. I'll tell you this. Like, we don't really think about our outfits that tough. You know what I mean? But like, when you're going to be on TV like that, you certainly think about your outfits. And so I have a couple at the house and I did this bit last year on the score where I was talking about them. But a Caleb Williams jersey. But it can't be like blue. It can't be the blue one. That's too basic. You know? It's got to be like the bright orange.
Yeah, I was going to say orange.
Maybe white. Maybe I get a bit dazzled.
I was going to ask, maybe you could borrow Danny's, but yeah. It's the wrong number, isn't it?
He has 18. 13? Oh, he has 13? Oh, man. Yeah, that one's probably worth a lot of money if you can get it signed. That'll be something there. But again, just the excitement level is there. The group chats are going wild. The highlights are awesome. The defense looks great. Mark Grody sounds delightful with his training camp coverage. Of course, training camp coverage presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft picks, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. There are standouts when you're watching the videos. When you're seeing Jack Sanborn being all over the place, you're loving that. Tremaine Edmonds coming up with picks. The defense, they're practicing their handshakes. Ready for that. I'm telling you, man, I am worried about a bit of overconfidence. Like the Avengers comment. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I've tried to explain this to multiple people. Sometimes we are the reason for that. We, the fans, are the reasons for the players maybe believing the hype too much. Right? Because it's Chicago. We're the Bears. We see our players. We love you. You put on the jersey, we love you. Not only do we love you, you want to talk about positive affirmations, we give you those in spades. You're the best, Tremaine. Oh my gosh. Jack Sanborn, Hall of Famer. Like, you know what I mean? Perfect example. Keenan Allen, Romo Dunze, DJ Moore, all three of them are going to have 1,000 yards. It's like, it's ridiculous. Like, that would be ridiculous if that happened. But Bears fans talk about it as if it's matter of fact. And those are the things that I get concerned about. So Avengers, Jaquan Brisker, I love Jaquan Brisker. I love Tyreek. Are you kidding me? Kyler Gordon, JJ on the, like, I love him. But I want him to go get 4 or 5 interceptions and shut down a team with good wide receivers before I want to dub them the Avengers. But that's all. It's just because my heart's broken, guys. Got a big wall around it. But somebody is going to bring that down. Who? Mike Golic Jr. Why? Because we have great conversations when we talk about not only the Chicago Bears, but the landscape of the NFL. I know he has one team in particular sitting atop the NFL. And he says that he will not remove them from there if one particular thing happens, until one particular thing happens. What is that one thing, and what is that team? We'll get it from Mike Golic Jr. after the break. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabriel.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Here is right here on The Score.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and on 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
That's right. We are back, and we're going to be talking about not just the Bears and Caleb Williams. We're going to take a spin around the NFL, too, with our next guest. He's joining us right now on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download that Circus Sports app today. Of course, you can catch him on Gojo and Golic on the DraftKings Network. Love seeing him on there. Always have great guests. The college football. He's also a college football analyst with Learfield Sports. Does great stuff there. And, of course, we know he's the former offensive lineman for Notre Dame. It's Mike Golic Jr. Mike, good to talk to you again, man.
Good to be back. I appreciate the nice intro, man.
Yeah, man. Always, brother. So let's start with Chicago before we get around the league. And let's just talk about the NFC North as a whole, right? I think there's going to be a lot of moving pieces there, right? Some people are high on Detroit Lions, but, of course, you know, the Packers did damage in the playoffs last year, regardless of whether or not Jordan Love's going to get his money. You know, it's people feel are high on them as well. And then the Bears, you know, it depends on what side of the fence you're on. So talk to me about the Bears in the landscape of the NFC North.
Yeah, I think at this point they're firmly below the two teams that you just mentioned for me. I think we can have a conversation about where Minnesota's at, what their onboarding process looks like for their own rookie quarterback pick in the first round and J.J. McCarthy. But I think both, certainly Detroit, much further along in its life cycle as a team. And I look at that maturity manifesting itself in the trenches. While we can go out and say, hey, maybe they could have stood to go out and get another pass rusher opposite Aiden Hutchinson on that defensive line, the way they've shored up the interior along with Aleem McNeil, who is already there, the offensive line that's one of the best, if not the best in football, that just made sure Penei Sewell was going to be around there for a good long time to continue that foundation in front of Jared Goff, who has his flaws. But, man, running that play-action pass scheme and Ben Johnson's offense thrown over the middle, he can do no wrong. I think they're ready to go, true Super Bowl contenders. I think the Green Bay Packers, what they showed us last year between the depth and the way that they were able to overcome injury constantly in the last couple of years on their O-line, and what I'm really interested in this year is what their defensive front seven, with all that first-round talent they've been drafting over the last few years, looks like with Jeff Hafley's system coming into town. Jeff Hafley, the former head coach of Boston College, and before that, D coordinator at Ohio State, who you saw the hallmark of his defenses, turning guys loose around the line of scrimmage and creating chaos and a lot of single high looks. So I think both of those teams, just right now, I'm a little more confident in what they can do up front, in addition to that incredibly young group of skill players in Green Bay, and certainly with the Detroit Lions. You know, they've built it around a big slot, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, if Jameson Williams comes online, then really look out. I just think up front, it all starts there. The foundation for me right now, less of a question than it maybe is in Chicago at the moment.
Yeah, that's true. We're talking to Mike Golic Jr. here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez with you. Bears are going to need a really good defense if they want to compete in the NFC North. A lot of people are saying top 10. Obviously, some diehard Bears fans and analysts here in Chicago are suggesting top five. When you see the Bears' defense, and they haven't made necessarily huge additions, right? You see the Kevin Byard in the secondary, but you see continuity there, right? With the maturation of a Tyrique Stevenson, a Kyler Gordon, do you think the Bears have a top 10 defense this season?
I think they've got the potential. I wouldn't say right off the bat right now, but they're probably in that 10 to 15 range where, if things go right and they are able to capitalize off the stuff they put on tape at the back half of last season, certainly Montez Sweat, the effect that he had coming in, can you get a guy? And I just heard Stacey Dales from the NFL Network, you know, obviously out in Chicago, talking about Jarvon Dexter and how excited people are there around him. Yep. Heading into this training camp. If you can get that guy as a former second round pick from last year to take that next step as a dynamic interior rusher to go with a secondary where Jalen Johnson is one of the legit number one guys in the NFL, that group you mentioned, Kevin Byard, great leadership, great pedigree back there, been a part of some solid groups. I think they can hold up their end of the bargain on the back end. It's, can you get someone else besides Montez Sweat to consistently be able to get in the face of some of these quarterbacks and get past some of these great interior offensive lines that you've got in the North?
All right, so answer this question, or fill in the blank, I should say. All right, the Bears will surprise you, or you would be surprised with the Bears if...
I would be surprised if the Bears made the playoffs. Like, I don't think they're a playoff team at this juncture. Rookie quarterback, all the things. With the expectations went through the roof last year. We know when C.J. Stroud did the thing. Took the bad vibes around that Houston franchise, and him and D'Amico Ryan flipped it in a year. So, and I already saw today, you know, we got the Caleb Mahomes throw on tape of him rolling left and throwing back across his body to Keenan Allen, and we're all like, I'm losing my mind. It's
beautiful.
Fun. That's what we're supposed to do in training camp. You're right. It's beautiful. Love that stuff. That being said, to expect it consistently from a rookie again, while they've got a lot of the same pieces in place and things that could in theory help in the same way, I still think, again, in this division in particular, this isn't the AFC South, especially last year where you had an injured quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. Tennessee was going through turnover with a rookie quarterback there. On and on down the list, the Jacksonville Jaguars had a banged up version of their quarterback in Trevor Lawrence as well. Different ball game for Caleb Williams and the NFC North here. So I would be surprised if they made the playoffs. I think there is ways you can measure success for this team that wouldn't be predicated on that being the final outcome.
Yeah, it's all about how you're winning and losing these games. What do they look like ultimately, and what does that look like at the tail end of the season when you're trying to continue to build on that roster? Mike, talk to me about, because we're obviously, the Bears are a team that wants to have a big turnaround. Let's take a look at the NFL as a whole. Which teams do you predict are going to make the biggest turnaround in 2024 and why?
looking out here, I mean, the easy low-hanging fruits ones are a team like the Cincinnati Bengals, just because they get their quarterback, obviously. Right. Joe Burrow's going to be there. I think the Indianapolis Colts are a really interesting team. We were just talking about the AFC South, though, and I have seen a lot of guys that I trust. Forget what I've seen with my own eyes. Nate Tice thinks they can be a top 10 offense in the NFL next year. Dan Orlovsky thinks Anthony Richardson could make MVP noise. He's such a perfect marriage of skill set and offense with what Shane Steichen brings over and brought over from Philadelphia. And I think for a lot of people, kind of like Jonathan Gannon in Arizona last year, the two former Philadelphia coordinators both earned the respect of a lot of people with the way they navigated complicated quarterback situations that were affected by injury. For Jonathan Gannon, it was in the beginning of the season. And for Shane Steichen, it was the last half of the season after game five when Anthony Richardson went down. And so I do think if he comes back and all of a sudden, hey, maybe you get an uptick in production from a guy like Alec Pierce or A.D. Mitchell, who you drafted this year, ends up doing those things in your offense that you were hoping Pierce could do opposite some of the rest of the guys in that room. I think all of a sudden that's a team that right now in an AFC South that everyone's ready to hand to the Houston Texans. After last year, we're all already, myself included, ready to coronate them and say, hey, they're going to win the division again. They're going to go and be a playoff team. Maybe they'll even get a win this year. And maybe the Anthony Richardson-led Indianapolis Colts could be here to say, not so fast. That offensive line is a big reason why. They had a big rebound last year. Bernard Ryman at left tackle, who was kind of their project coming out of Central Michigan, had probably his best season as a pro. And so if that can keep trending in the right direction, that ground game they're going to have, that Anthony Richardson's going to have to be a part of. I know people are going to be afraid about the injury stuff, but that's his special sauce, and you got to be able to let him cut it loose every once in a while. That could absolutely be a team capable of all of a sudden showing up in a way we're not ready for.
Yeah, I mean, he was making big waves before he got injured, right? And then you saw Michael Pittman step up throughout the entire season. You know, Jonathan Taylor's going to be playing well. They already had a formidable defense, added some pieces there, but you're talking about an Indianapolis team that a lot of people forget about with Anthony. But again, if he can play at a high level and match that success, and we already know the AFC South has been tight and always is tight, regardless if they're bad teams or good teams. It's always a tight race, so it'll be interesting to watch that one. Staying in the AFC, though, I know you put Kansas City, as they should be, atop the totem pole, but you gave a very specific reason why they're there and they've yet to be knocked off. What's that one, Mike?
I mean, listen, they got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Like, I could go on to the rest of the guys, but you could stop after those two, and that's proven to be enough. Like, I think... And it's, you know, we're already going to start doing the dynasty comparisons, because when you've won at the rate that they've won now, where Mahomes and him are sitting there with three Super Bowl rings between them, you start to have the dynasty start talk. We start to think about, could this be something akin to what we just had in New England? And that, to me, is the biggest point of comparison, is they can be whatever their roster allows them to be, and thus whatever they have to be, right? We saw them with Tyreek Hill be the high-flying team that stretched the field and made defenses all of a sudden start to think more about playing more too high, getting back deeper, taking away big plays. That's become so in vogue in the modern NFL, especially in these Fangio coaching tree defenses. And then they decided, all right, well, we'll batten down the hatches. We'll run more two and three tight end sets than most every team. Last year, we'll be a defensive-led team. All of a sudden, Steve Spagnuolo's group ended up being what lifted them through a season where their wide receivers were dropping passes left and right, and they couldn't push the ball down the field anymore because they didn't have the wide receiver personnel to do it. And so I think that resiliency that happens when your organizations align, when your GM, Brett Veach, understands exactly the kind of guys to get in your program that'll fit well within you already, what you already do, and you have the ultimate eraser in 15 in red who can make everyone's lives easier around him in a way that we talk about should be the thing quarterbacks do, the great ones, but really only like three or four are actually physically capable of in 2024 in this league.
And doing it consistently. And I think for me, when I look at the Kansas City Chiefs, to go back to that part, I've never thought them to be a team to have a Super Bowl slump, Super Bowl hangover, just because of the mindset of guys like you mentioned, Andy Reid, and of course, Patrick Mahomes. But for one reason or another, I feel like this year is different. I feel like, you know, I feel like Patrick Mahomes has the third baby. You got, you know, of course, Kelce with Taylor Swift. Andy Reid's like, man, I keep winning. I don't know. There's something different about this one where I don't know if the flame is going to burn as bright as it has over the last couple of seasons.
Listen, man, I'd probably go Oppo on that one just because Mahomes seems like one of those sickos. Andy Reid, he's done this at two franchises now. Like, we're going to have more conversations as we go forward here, especially if they get another one, God forbid, in the next few years, of Andy Reid potentially being right up there with Belichick and these other names as the greatest coaches of all time, like on that Mount Rushmore. Probably already is, to be honest. And then Travis Kelce's dating one of the most famous women in the world. You think he wants to go out there and be anything less than in the conversation for the greatest tight end of all time? He's got the Swifties at his back right now. This man's got a supercharger on him as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, the votes would be high if they went to an online poll for that one. We're talking to Mike Golic Jr. here on 670 The Score. All right, before I let you go, I mentioned the podcast at the beginning of the show, right? The one with you and your dad, Gojo and Golic, DraftKings. Make sure you guys check that out. But I did mention that you guys have a lot of good guests. So talk to me about maybe a guest that you feel like has left the biggest impact on you after the lift. Maybe you picked up a nugget you weren't necessarily certain of, or some knowledge that you thought was there, because you guys do have a lot of good ones.
Yeah, we've had a lot of good ones. You know what's been fun recently is we've had a bunch of Olympians on in the lead up to the games getting ready to go here in Paris. And I always think that perspective, whether it's Olympians, you know, we talked to Xander Schauffele, who's getting ready to go over there and compete there as well, coming off of his second career major at Royal Troon. And the individual sport athletes are so interesting for me to talk to mentality-wise about the way that they have to approach the game and the way that they have to go about their business just because of the nature of the sports. You know, Anna Hall, who's going to be a track and field star in the heptathlon for Team USA over there, spent a season at the University of Florida. She's 23 years old and is coming back off a knee surgery in January. And she talked to us about all those dark moments where you doubt yourself coming off an injury like that and relying on the team around you and then being able to go back out there and perform at such a high level. I think getting to talk to those Olympic athletes who, man, they train just as hard, if not harder, than all of us that play these team sports year round and really have limited opportunities to go out on the biggest stages like this and make an impact. Totally different animal. And they were a ton of fun lately.
What an interesting story, right? To think, hey, you're bouncing back from something. What is that mindset like, right? It's one thing to be in the trainer's room, seeing your teammates patting you on the back, keeping you going. But when in those individual sports, it's a different animal. You are the one that is responsible for probably getting the most out of you as opposed to, you know, your teammates, like we mentioned.
No, it's so true. And just, you know, even inside the body, I mean, we've seen Carlos Alcaraz has made me watch a lot more tennis as of late than I had in quite some time. And we know we're coming off that golden era on the men's side, but watching the way that he adjusts in the middle of a round, watching the way that these guys have to problem solve. I know they can look at their coaches. They can do some of that jawing there. But, you know, when I went back to the sideline, you're right. I had a whole offensive line of guys I could talk to. We could get on the phone with our offensive coordinator. Our quarterback was coming over with our O-line coach. And we were going over every look that we saw that last series. And we had time and we had the other people around us to be able to bounce that off of and problem solve. These guys got to do it on the fly on their own while they're out there publicly exerting themselves like that for 4 and 5 hours at a time. It never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah, well, that's why I know you're glad you got your pops there doing your thing with you on the podcast.
Exactly. When I get tired of flapping my gums, I can just throw the ball to dad, and I know he can talk for 5 minutes straight.
That's right, man. You can catch him, Gojo and Golic, on DraftKings Network. Make sure you guys follow him on Twitter at Mike Golic Jr. Mike, great stuff as always, man. Love talking to you.
Hey, appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Of course, Mike Golic Jr., ladies and gentlemen. Just great stuff. I mean, on the national level, I mean, I don't know. I get it. That's why they've gotten there when I'm talking about Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. But I don't know, man. This one just feels different. This one just feels different. You have your third kid. You've won so much. Because, like, even when you win the first one, I can understand the desire to win the second, even after you've kind of lost it. And then you're like, okay. And then you win the second one, and it's like, okay, I did make it back to the promised land. I did win it. All right. Got my baby. You know, like, where you stop caring about things till the playoffs. Like, you make that mistake the first year. We'll get good in the second. Like the Cubs did after they won the World Series. We'll get better in the second half of the season. And they did. But I have that feeling about Kansas City. Get us to the playoffs. It doesn't matter what seed we are. We could be the 7, whatever. Like, I feel like they'll have that mentality.
That's exactly the type of mentality they'll have.
Yeah, and it's going to kind of, because even last year, right? I mean, they were 11-6 last year. That's pretty awesome. Year before that, 11-6. 2022, Kansas City, 14-3. Sheesh.
Well, they were left for dead last year.
Right.
Because they lost to the Raiders. They couldn't score offensively. Patrick Mahomes threw like 2 or 3 pick sixes, and everybody wrote them off, and they charged. I feel like It's almost like Aaron Rodgers late in his career, where his Packers teams would get off to like a 0-3 start or 2-6.
We wouldn't be worried about it.
No, not at all. But then he started thinking about retirement.
Yeah.
And then it mattered.
And then it mattered. Today mattered a lot to a specific individual who I used to admire. Dylan Cease threw himself a nice little no-hitter. Finally got there. If you remember, a couple years ago, he got one out of the way. And then Luis Arraez, who on the Twins, I'll never forget that game. I was watching it. And I remember the game vividly because I woke up. I remember waking up. I was watching the beginning. It was boring. Then I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, he's a no-hitter. And I was like, oh my God. And then he gets a base hit, Luis Arraez. And I'm like, did I just ruin that by waking up and watching this game? Well, we will talk a little bit more about Dylan Cease's latest performance, what it meant to the San Diego Padres in the grand scheme of their history, and what feat he's accomplished over the last six starts. We'll talk a little Dylan Cease on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Abrams to right field. Johnson coming in. He makes the catch. No hits for the Nats. Dylan Cease throws a no-hitter. The second no-hitter in Padres history. There'll be a sea of San Diegans celebrating back home today.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and on 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
A big thank you to SanDiegoPadres.tv. For that clip, of course, that was Dylan Cease completing his no-hitter today. Arr. The Ceaser, man. I'm glad. The Padres needed an ace. The White Sox needed some young talent in return. And Dylan Cease, I mean, you know what you're going to get. The Boston Red Sox knew what they were getting in Chris Sale. The San Diego Padres knew what they were getting in Dylan Cease, and he did it. No hitter. Fell short a couple years ago. 9 innings pitched, 9 strikeouts, 3 walks, 114 pitches. That's what happens when you turn 28. You're a workhorse. Faced all the batters. Man, the game took 2 hours and 6 minutes. You'd think it'd go a little faster, but not quite that. Of course, when you're talking to pitchers about their no-hitters, something that they'll remember forever, but they asked Dylan, when did it start to feel real?
After the 6, probably.
Okay.
But pitch count was high, so I was like, I try not to think about it too much. I would go in between and talk to Joe and King about sequencing, and then just, you know, good things happen.
So obviously we were talking about this on the rally today. I mean, it's a live, you know, show. And I was on with Lawrence Holmes and Clay Harbor. And the question I had to set up for them was, what's different about Dylan Cease since he left the South Side of Chicago? And they said there's stuff or whatever. And then the picture that was behind us on the screen was of Dylan Cease, and he was smiling. And I said, the biggest difference, guys, is that. Look, he has teeth. You can actually see his teeth. He's smiling. He's having a good time. He's pitching for, you know, he feels like he's pitching for something. That's the biggest difference. It's tough. But I wish he was doing it here in Chicago. I wish he was. I mean, could you imagine if it was like Dylan Cease, Garrett Crochet, you know, you got Drew Thorpe is nice. Pitching well. Cannon's looking good. Hagen Smith's coming up. I mean, just to be a part of that kind of rotation.
Reynaldo Lopez.
You know, that's my guy. We still hit each other up on Instagram. Name drop. But I get it, though. I get it. You're trying to work for the future, right? You're trying to build a contender. I'm here for it. Getsy, I believe in you, Papa. I believe in everything that you're trying to do over there. But Dylan Cease, it did hurt a little bit. It didn't hurt as much as I thought. I got to be honest. I was definitely happier than I was hurt, which is good. That means that I'm in a different place in the healing process. Dylan Cease, 114 pitches, did say that he had to lobby to stay in, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, he said nice job, and I looked up and it was like 94 pitches, and I just said I feel great, and if we get through the next one in like 105, then I've thrown 113 this year, and so Thankfully, they let me talk him into it, and then here we are.
Hey, man, when you're feeling good, you're feeling good. And he talked about that a lot. And you have to. Got to feel good on the day. But nerves had to have hit you in the ninth inning, right? If there was one out left, you had to have some sort of flashback to the last time you were in that situation.
I think I had a little flashback right there. Made sure I got the slider a little bit lower. So, yeah, that's, man, off the bat right there, it looked kind of like a blue pit.
Yeah.
And then I just saw it stay up, and I was just screaming and yelling, and, you know, that was awesome.
That's so funny. You throw the same pitch, and then you're like, wait. This got to be lower. Muscle memory from 2 years ago. Great stuff. Congratulations to Dylan Cease. Hope you get a couple more of those in your career. All right. We do want to talk about our hometown teams, though. Come back from the West Coast down to the Windy City. What are the Cubs and Sox looking like, not only in the present, but as they're heading into that trade deadline? For that, we get to get some answers from our very own Bruce Levine. We'll talk to him next right here on The Score. 70 The Score.
Abrams to right field. Johnson coming in. He makes the catch. No hits for the Nats. Dylan Cease throws a no-hitter. The second no-hitter in Padres history. There'll be a sea of San Diegans celebrating back home today.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and on 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
A big thank you to SanDiegoPadres.tv for that clip. Of course, that was Dylan Cease completing his no-hitter today. Arr. The Ceaser, man. I'm glad. The Padres need an ace. The White Sox needed some young talent in return. And Dylan Cease, I mean, you know what you're going to get. The Boston Red Sox knew what they were getting in Chris Sale. The San Diego Padres knew what they were getting in Dylan Cease, and he did it. No hitter. Fell short a couple years ago. 9 innings pitched, 9 strikeouts, 3 walks, 114 pitches. That's what happens when you turn 28. You're a workhorse. Faced all the batters. Man, the game took 2 hours and 6 minutes. You'd think it'd go a little faster. But not quite that. Of course, when you're talking to pitchers about their no-hitters, something that they'll remember forever. But they asked Dylan, when did it start to feel real?
After the 6, probably.
Okay.
But pitch count was high, so I was like, But I try not to think about it too much. I would go in between and talk to Joe and King about sequencing. And then just, you know, good things happen.
So obviously we were talking about this on the rally today. I mean, it's a live, you know, show. And I was on with Lawrence Holmes and Clay Harbor. And the question I had to set up for them was, what's different about Dylan C since he left the South Side of Chicago? And they said there's stuff or whatever. And then the picture that was behind us on the screen was of Dylan Cease, and he was smiling. And I said, the biggest difference, guys, is that. Look, he has teeth. You can actually see his teeth. He's smiling. He's having a good time. He's pitching for, you know, he feels like he's pitching for something. That's the biggest difference. It's tough. But I wish he was doing it here in Chicago. I wish he was. I mean, could you imagine if it was like Dylan Cease, Garrett Crochet, you know, you got Drew Thorpe is nice, pitching well. Cannon's looking good. Hagen Smith's coming up. I mean, just to be a part of that kind of rotation.
Reynaldo Lopez.
You know, that's my guy. We still hit each other up on Instagram. Name drop. But I get it, though. I get it. You're trying to work for the future, right? You're trying to build a contender. I'm here for it. Getsy, I believe in you, Papa. I believe in everything that you're trying to do over there. But Dylan Cease, it did hurt a little bit. It didn't hurt as much as I thought. I got to be honest. I was definitely happier than I was hurt, which is good. That means that I'm in a different place in the healing process. Dylan Cease, 114 pitches, did say that he had to lobby to stay in, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, he said nice job, and I looked up and it was like 94 pitches, and I just said I feel great, and if we get through the next one in like 105, then I've thrown 113 this year, and so thankfully they let me talk him into it, and then here we are.
Hey man, when you're feeling good, you're feeling good, and he talked about that a lot. And you have to. Got to feel good on the day. But nerves had to have hit you in the ninth inning, right? If there was one out left, you had to have some sort of flashback to the last time you were in that situation.
I think I had a little flashback right there. Made sure I got the slider a little bit lower. So, yeah, that's, man, off the bat right there, it looked kind of like a bloop hit.
Yeah.
And then I just saw it stay up, and I was just screaming and yelling, and, you know, that was awesome.
That's so funny. You throw the same pitch, and then you're like, wait. This got to be lower. Muscle memory from 2 years ago. Great stuff. Congratulations to Dylan Cease. Hope you get a couple more of those in your career. All right. We do want to talk about our hometown teams, though. Come back from the West Coast down to the Windy City. What are the Cubs and Sox looking like, not only in the present, but as they're heading into that trade deadline? For that, we get to get some answers from our very own Bruce Levine. We'll talk to him next right here on The Score.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.